We've had a new addition to Real Life Church, Raju. And and he's a wonderful young man, Raju and his family, Michelle and their two children. And Raju's got a wonderful testimony. And I asked Raju, Raju, would you come and share your story with Real Life Church? Because we want to get to know him more, amen. And threaded through his testimony today is the word of the Lord. So while he's sharing his own testimony, you open your heart and let God speak to you today. Could you put your hands together for Raju as he comes to minister?
Thank you, Pastor David. Thank you. Yes, the mic is working. Hallelujah. Pastor David, I really want to thank you and honor you. Pastor Rochelle, thank you and honor you. Pastor Bethwyn, thank you and honor you. Church, thank you very much for the opportunity that I can actually share my testimony. Reverend Ivan has already shared. I call him Reverend Ivan because he is amazing. He's just amazing. And Reverend Jane as well, right? So he has already shared about a continent of Africa and the children there. I'm from completely different background, which I'm from Asia, called the country called Nepal. So anybody, any one of you been to Nepal before? Hallelujah. Great. Yeah. I'm surprised because there were quite a number of people who've been to Nepal. It's a beautiful country, really nice. We have Mount Everest. If you have never heard about Nepal, where Nepal is, if we talk about, do you know there's Mount Everest? And whenever I said, have you been to Nepal? They said, where's Nepal? And I said, Mount Everest. Oh, yeah, Mount Everest. Okay. I always say that I was born in the top of the world. And I jumped down under. It took a little bit of time, but we all got there. Thank you. All right, Raju, share now. So let's close our eyes. I want to pray before I share my testimony. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I invite you right now. You are already here, but we just want to acknowledge your presence. We just want to make sure that we glorifying your name. It's all about you, God. It's all about you. So God, we pray that your anointing will rest upon this story. I pray that every individual people who are here right now, hearing the sound of my voice, will receive the impartation from heaven. I pray that, Lord, every individual people will realize that how much you care for them, how much you love them, how much what you have done on the cross, and it's still alive, as you are alive today, and you are here in our midst, and I pray every distraction, every attack of the enemy, I take control of the atmosphere right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will permeate, let your love permeate into every individual lives, oh God. They are not hearing my voice, even though they are listening to me, but they are listening to you, to your word, and what you have to say for them. I thank you and I praise you, Lord. I acknowledge you and I honor you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As you know, I was born in Nepal. I can't see. Okay, behind. And what I'm going to share today is about, it's a real story, Real Life Church, real story. And I know that every one of you have a story. And this has happened to be this week is I'm sharing my story, but it's not about me, it's about God and His story. Because And I believe that you have your own story. And when I'm sharing my story, I would like you to actually imagine your own story and see the hand of God in your own story. Because in every story, whether that is a story that is really dysfunctional or story that is really functional, story that is great or story that is that has a lot of pain in it, all the story matters to God. Because you matter to God. And He loves you. That's why you are here today. And I What I want to acknowledge is everything that I have gone through, even though I've gone through emotionally in my life, gone through a lot of abandonment issues, a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, but in every moment, every step of the way, Christ was present. So in your story, Christ is present as well. Even though you might sometimes not see it, you might not experience it, you might not feel it, but He is right there with you. And I was born in Nepal. It's a really beautiful country. Lot of mountains. We have Mount Everest. We also have Himalayas, where a lot of people come for trekking. They go, they want to just visit Nepal. Beautiful nation, beautiful country, but it's really broken. There's a lot of full of idol worship. There are temples everywhere. There are churches coming as well. Thank God for that. But there's a lot of spiritual bondage. People are in bondage. And this is the country that I was born in. And while I was just 3 months old, my biological mother decided that she is going to leave my biological father and run away with someone else. And she, when I was 3 months old, she just threw me, left me, and she went away. And because I was 3 months old, I had no idea at that point. So a lot of the story of the childhood that I'm going to tell you right now is what I collected from the neighbors that I did went to the village, and I have met my biological father. And some of the story that I'm telling you, it's a collection of the story that I received from the neighbors. So I was only 3 months old. She threw me, and then she left with another man. So my uncle, my father's brother, older brother, he decided that he's going to look after me, and he and his wife, my auntie, decided that they're going to take me into their house and they're going to raise me, because my father had an issue with alcohol. And the only thing as a child growing up I could still remember that the images that I have, the feelings that I have in my head is, this man that comes home drunk every night, and the whole villages could hear him. He's walking from there was a hill, and our house was right there, and he will come down from the hill, and he will be shouting and screaming with the, I think he drinks a lot, so he's drunk, and he's shouting and screaming. Whole neighbor was able to hear him. And I was, as a child, I could remember those voices coming out. Every time I hear him coming, I used to be so afraid, because I knew that he's going to come and he's going to physically abuse me. So my uncle was, at the moment, uncle was looking after me, auntie was looking after me. I became 5 years old. And when I became 5 years old, my uncle and my auntie that looked after me for a while, they had to travel to India. So in India, because in Nepal there was not much work, so my uncle decided, okay, he's going to go into Indian Army. And so he was planning to leave. So he and his wife, my auntie, decided, okay, now Raju is 5 years old, I'm going to hand him over to his father. And my uncle said, okay, come on. Now your son is 5 years old, and you only, at that point, that time, I was the only son. So his wife left, my mom left, so he had me, and my uncle said, okay, you need to look after him, because if you look after him, he's going to look after you. But my father had an issue with alcohol. So he will, every night, I remember from that time, and my uncle and auntie handed me over to my father. And I remember every night, every evening, I will be at home and my father will come home drunk and he will abuse me physically. He will beat me. He will take anything that he will find. He will just wipe me with it. If he finds a wood, he will just use the wood. Whatever he finds, he will just beat me. He will abuse me. And he will say, "Where's, have you not, I'm 5 years old here." And he's saying, "You haven't cooked anything? Where's the food?" I remember all these things because I was abused, constantly abused every day. I live in that abuse. And I became 7 years old. My father decided, now he's going to remarry. So he found a lady from somewhere, and he decided, okay, he's going to get married, and he brought her home. And my stepmom came home. And my father said, "This is your mom now." And at why I something about my father, I remember that every night he will come home again. He brought this woman in his life. She became my stepmom, and he's living with her. But he will come home every evening and abuse my stepmom physically. Abuse my stepmom physically. He will beat her. He will. And this is we're talking about our culture. In our culture, men, you know, male is the head of the house, head of the state, head of everything. So, you know, so man could do anything. And so therefore, he will just abuse. And after he's abusing, once he abused my mom, he will come after me and he will abuse me. And my stepmom, because she was at that point in our culture, she will not turn around and beat him back. I wish she had done something like that so he could learn his lesson, but it didn't happen. My stepmom will turn around and come and abuse me instead. The reason is because I was his son, not her son, his son. So that's the way that she was getting back to him, by abusing me. So I will, in Christianity, we call it, we have double portion of anointing. In my case, I had double portion of abuse. So I grew up in that environment. When I became 8 years old, my stepmom was pregnant. And in our culture, what happens is, she was pregnant with a son. So male child, if you are male child, is that you, if you are first born male child, you have more authority. You were the next in line for the family, to everything that your dad has, your mom has, it belongs to you. You get the most than any other siblings. So because of that reason, my stepmom wanted her son to become the firstborn and not me. So she had two choices. One, either to kick me out of the house or to really kill me. So she decided first, she took both options. Option number one. One evening I was at home and she gave me rice. We call it rice, but it's actually made out of corn flour. And we cook as we use hot water, and we just cook and cook until it's really thick. And she gave me one big plate of corn flour rice. And she threw at me and said, "Eat." And I still remember this very vividly in my head. I still remember this picture. And she when I looked at the cornflour rice and I said, "I can't finish this." So what she did is she held me down with her two feet like this, and I'm lying down this way. And then she took the rice and stuffed into my throat. And what happened is, I realized that I need to do something about it, because if not, I'm going to die. And so I had to quickly, somehow I managed to escape, and I ran away from the house. And that night I went to one of the neighbor's house and I stayed there. I said, please let me stay into your house. If not, my stepmom is going to kill me. I need to stay in your house. So they kept me for a night. And the next day, I'm not so sure what happened. My stepmom created a story that to my father, And then my father and my stepmom come next day and says, look, Raju, you are going around to the neighborhood and telling bad things about your stepmom and me. We don't want you in the house, so we're going to send you as a servant to a chief. We had every village, we have chief, we call it village chief. He was a rich man. He has cattle and animals. You can look after that. And he needs a servant there. We're going to send you there. So my father decided he doesn't want me anymore. Send me as a slave, servant to this rich person. My stepmom, I remember the day that I was going, my stepmom stood and she looked at me. I still remember she looked at me and said, Raju, if you ever come back to this house again, I'm going to kill you. And as an 8-year-old boy, I was quite frightened of dying. I didn't want to die. So I was taken to this not far away, village chief's house was near, so I was taken there. And then I became a servant. As a servant, I was a slave there, basically not a servant, slave. So they will tell me what I need to do, I will do, and all that. So I lived there in his house for a little while, not long. I decided I can't stay here and I can't go back to my family because my stepmom is going to kill me. So I was frightened of dying. So I decided, no, I'm going to run away. Let me drink water. I need water before running away, no? So I decided, okay, I'm going to run away. And I ran away from there, and I just walked and walked and walked. And 15 minutes down the road, I realized I came across this small village. Every village have a small town in Nepal. And I decided that I'm going to live in this town because there were few shops around and I could actually survive. So that's how my street life began. I became homeless and I started living. That's not my picture though, if you are looking. So is that Raju? No, it's not. I just took it from the internet. So I became homeless. And in Nepal, okay, we're talking about Nepal. We're not talking about being homeless in Australia. It is really bad. But in Nepal, it's a very different story. Like Reverend Ivan was sharing about Africa. If you became homeless, it's a very different story again. So in Nepal, when you became homeless, you are really homeless. There is no shelters. There is no Centrelink. Basically, you are just there on the street. Anyone can abuse you, free flow. Anybody can take advantage of you, no problem, because I was only at that point 8 or 9 years old. So I just slept at the roadside, wherever I can find, under the tree, some hiding place. And I started, in order for me to survive, I needed to go around begging. So I go around on the street, daytime, beg, please give me something, give me money. We don't write, I'm homeless, please give me money. We don't have that. We just go around asking with the hand. You know, please give me money, give me food, I'm hungry. So I live that life. And not only that, I used to collect plastic bags, anything that I could find to actually collect them and then go and sell them so I can make some money. So I was, in that regards, I had employment as well, you know, collecting plastic bags and selling and earning money. So I learned that as well. So on the street, at nighttime, we used to go break into the different factories. I have done some bad things. Yes. On the street. So we used to go around stealing and doing, and the way street kids in Nepal, there are a lot of street kids in Nepal. And we realize that in order for us to survive, for me to survive, I have to learn the ways and find something to eat, because sometimes I'll go hungry. Sometimes people will come, and when I said, please give me money, they will, instead of giving me money, they will slap me or they will spit at me, because they think that in Nepal, a lot of the parents have so many kids, and the story is these kids at home don't want to work at home, and they don't want to do the work, so they ran away just to get easy money. So, and there are such cases, but I was not one of them at that time. So I had to bear all these things. I grew up, and there came a time after some time in December, which is in December, it's a winter time in Nepal. It's the exact opposite. In Australia, it's a summer time. In Nepal, it's a winter time. In winter, it gets really cold. And it was winter, I was dirty, I was living on the street, and I suddenly caught pneumonia. I was really sick. And what happened is that one day, I was not even aware. So I was so sick, I had so high temperature that I don't know whether I was unconscious, but I'm not aware what actually happened. I was lying down on the street of Kathmandu, in the capital, and I was lying down there, and I was just, what happens is, if you are lying down in Kathmandu, people will just come and throw money, whatever change they have, throw, and they just walk away. So I was just lying down at this place, and this is what my foster mother, now I'm going back to my foster mother, who really looked after me in the orphanage. My foster mom, if you can, my picture is in there. This one, not from the internet. It's really, I'm there somewhere. If you can identify me, you can do that. But in this, my foster mother told me that this is what happened. I was lying down on the street. She had to, because she's a American missionary. So what happened was, she was walking, because she had the travel agent. Those days, they still used to go to travel agent to get the plane ticket. So she traveled to the travel agent. And then while she was walking, she realized there is a boy just lying down on the floor. And at that point, because my foster mom used to only take children from the hospitals, we were young children, unwanted children, abandoned children, and the younger children. For me, I was already almost 9 years old, about 10 years old probably. So she said, he's too big. I can't bring him, because I have young children in the house. And we street kids get, we are used to street. So we become like a street kid. I don't want to bring him there to protect other children. So she just looked at me, and there were other children like that as well. So she just passed by at that day. And then second day, she had to go back again to the travel agent. And this is what she told me, my foster mom told me. She said, I prayed, and I prayed to Jesus and said, Lord, I don't know why I've been seeing this boy, and it's something about that boy that really, there's something that I'm connected to. So she prayed that, Lord, if that boy is still at the same place, I'm going to pick him up. So next day when she came, lo and behold, I was still there. But I'm not aware of all these things. I'm not so sure whether I was. I believe that I was unconscious. I'm not aware of all these happenings. And so I was lying down there, and she came by, and she just picked me up from the street. And first thing she did was she brought me to the place to eat. So and I ate, and she also gave me some medication, and then she brought me home, and she showered me first. She said I was so dark and so dirty because my skin were all dark. Because I was living on the street and I was lying down there. I was so dirty. She said the water that came out clean became dark water. That dirty I was. So she cleaned me, and I was not wanting to have a shower at all at that time. I was struggling, she said. But she looked after me, and that's how I came to the orphanage. And when I came to the orphanage, she sent me to school. And now I'm going a bit quicker, faster now, because time, I can see the time going. So she brought me, and then after that, she realized that, oh, I can't look after you because you are too aggressive, too naughty. I can't really disciplining you because I was on the street. So I had ways of the street people that on the street, that's how I survive. So now I'm brought into the house, four walls, doesn't suit me that well. So what happened was that I was really, really naughty, and I was really, really, I had really hot temper. I will get into fights easily. I will argue back. And my mom said, I really cannot look after you. I really cannot discipline you. No matter how much in Nepal, we still do, we use wooden spoon. It's still allowed. You know, it's not illegal in Nepal, not here. Don't go home and start beating your children. I'm just, in Nepal. And then my mom said, no matter what I do, when I say mom, I'm talking about the lady in the orphanage who look after me. I call her mom. And she said, I can't. So I'm going to send you to the boarding school. So she decided she will send me to the boarding school. And I went to the boarding school in India from 1991 to 1997. And I stayed in the boarding school. There are a lot of things happened in the boarding school. I'm not going to go into detail right now. A lot of abuse happened. A lot of things happened there. I had to deal with that whole issue in my life and growing up. But I graduated from a high school. I did not go through a proper step of schooling. I was already quite old, entering into school, so I had to quickly finish the school life, and I went to school before I finished my high school. This is a little bit too small, I apologize for that, but before I finished my high school, I was at grade 10. This is really, really important. When I was at grade 10, in Nepal and India, we call it grade 10 is SLC, which is school leaving certificate. So you finish grade 10 and you go into plus 2, which is another 2 years of schooling, and then you go into university. So while I was in grade 2, that's all school goes until grade 10. So what happened is, at grade 10, I realized that my life suddenly, I'm finishing my high school. I'm going back to Nepal. I'm this age now. What am I going to do after this? So suddenly I had this desperation inside. I was desperate to know that what I'm going to do after here. And I decided, because it was a boarding school, was a Christian boarding school, so I heard about Christ, and we do all the rituals and all that, praying, reading the Bible, and all those things I used to do, all that, but not from here, but from here. So this was not changed. My heart wasn't changed, but I had the knowledge of Jesus. I had a knowledge of the Bible. I had all these things. I used to pray. I used to sing songs. I used to even say praise the Lord, but my heart had never fully connected with Jesus. So I realized I'm going back to Nepal, I need to do something. So what I did is I went into the chapel. We used to have a small chapel, and I went in there and I hid behind the pulpit. Those pulpits were not like this. It was a wooden pulpit, with a big, and there was a space in between, so I could really kneel down underneath and then hide, because my friends will, if they realize that I'm in the chapel praying, they will laugh at me, you know. So even though it's a Christian school, boarding school, all that, but my friends would say, what are you doing? So hid myself and I pray. I said, Lord, I heard about you a lot. Jesus, I heard about you a lot. But I really need to experience now because I'm finishing my high school here. I'm leaving the school. I'm going back to Nepal. I don't know what I'm going to do after this. I don't have a house. At that time, I didn't know my biological father. And I didn't know where am I going to go after this. And what am I going to do? And I really started to pray. And literally at that moment, I can't even imagine right now. I was just kneeling down and I started, suddenly something was happening in my life and I started crying. I was sobbing and crying and crying and crying and crying. I was sobbing and crying. I was crying and crying. And when I stopped, I was at that place for 2 hours. For 2 hours. And later, when I start to ponder about it, I realize the Spirit of God was really working in me. The Spirit of God was actually healing me. The Spirit of God was touching me such a way that He was taking all my sorrows away. And I came out from there. I went back and continued my journey. And 1 week later, my friends comes to me and says, Raju, what has God gone into you? What happened? And I told my friends, I said, what do you mean? And they said, you were the most swearing person that you used to speak one good word, you used to say 5 bad words. And we have not even heard one. And you used to ask for smokes. Uh-oh. Cigarettes. Other stuff as well. But you haven't asked anything. What is going on? I'm not lying. I realize that at that moment of week ago, when I knelt down and prayed, the Spirit of God internally did some work without my knowledge. I was just crying. I thought I was just crying. But God was doing work in me. And He changed me. And at that moment, not only changed me, I also received a call in my life. I believe I received a call. And suddenly I had this desire. Now when I go back to Nepal, I'm going to go into Bible college and I'm going to serve the Lord. This is the thought came to me. I said, God picked me up from the street. God allowed a missionary to pick me up from the street and brought me to the orphanage, give me education. And now because what God has done, I'm going to give back now. So I decided I'm going to go Bible college and I'm going to serve the Lord. And that's what I came back to Nepal. I asked mom, I said, I'm going to go to Bible college. And she said, just do what I ask you to do. And God opened the door. I will send you to the Bible college. And that's how my life started. There's long way to go. But I went to Singapore and I studied in the Bible college. I finished my bachelor degree in theology. I never studied English. English was my learned language. I didn't study English in boarding school. I studied in Hindi. When I went to Singapore, nobody could understand me. Most likely now you can't understand me too. Some of you are not laughing. That means didn't understand. I went to Singapore in 2007. 2007, I got married with my beautiful wife who is sitting right here supporting me. And in 2008, 2nd July 2008, God brought us here to Australia. And all these things, because we don't have time, I don't want to go into detail. What I would like to say is that every story, behind every story, is His story. Hallelujah. and you have a story, and it will be really not good for me to close without giving an opportunity for you to actually, it can only become his story when we accept him first. So as we close our eyes now, please bow our head. I want to give opportunity to people who have never invited Jesus Christ into your heart. Jesus came, he died, he rose again, so he can give you salvation for free. It cost God everything, but it's not going to cost anything to us except believing in our heart, confessing with our mouth that Christ Jesus is Lord. So I'm just going to, as every head bows, eyes close, I just want to pray for you. If you are here for the first time, or you have come here 100 times, but you have never consciously made decision to accept Christ in your life, in order for you to create your story into his story, he needs to be Lord in your life first. So if you are here, if you have never accepted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I will just like to pray for you. You can just signal me with your right hand if you lift your hand up, and I would just like to love to pray with you. Is there anyone? Say anyone want to accept Christ as the Lord and Savior this morning? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. We're not going to delay, but probably sometimes we don't want to raise our hands in a public, all that. That's fine. If you believe, if you have not accepted Christ, and pray this prayer with me now, and let's repeat together, family of God, together. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess my sins. I am thankful you died on the cross. You rose again. And I accept the salvation you provided for me. I receive it by faith. Holy Spirit, come into my heart and be my Lord. I surrender my life today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.